You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
Karlgrow M3, the property development company whose buildings include Floorhof in Roodepoort and Scott Dean in the Western Cape, has reported a strong comeback from the COVID-19-induced loss in 2020. The company, which also owns the Nasrec Memorial Park, has not only returned to profits, but its margins are now at a four-year high. We do have the CEO, Vikas Latahan, on the show for more. Vikas, thanks so much for your time. This looks like more than just growth of Karlgrow M3 rising from the COVID-19 ashes, as it were. What was the main driver of your growth and how sustainable is it?
Good afternoon, Fifi, and thanks for the opportunity. Yes, I think Karlgrow almost had its challenges pre-COVID, where from mid-2016 to 2019, we had various challenges. Then from mid-2019, we started restructuring the business, refocus the business back to where we believe the core is, which is specialist residential development business, of course, also a business managing and operating private memorial parks. So if you look at where there's the GP margin come from at a four-year high, we believe it's very sustainable. Our construction is mostly now at fixed-cost contracts. Further to that, we're also now in a position where we're working hard to relook our efficiencies and designs from a civil perspective, from a construction perspective, from an efficiency perspective in our designs, as well as the yield we get per hectare on property. So I think everything coming together, you'll also see that our administrative expenses are down a further 22.9%. Now, I think if you look at from the high, that's most probably 60, 70% down. Our interest is down a further 31%, resulting mostly from our debt decrease now, where we now have a net debt to equity of 0.84 to 1, where at the height that number was a lot, lot higher. And the whole business, the whole balance sheet's been restructured. Cash generation at 133 million, really generating a lot of capital and only accounting for revenue as and when we bank the cash.
Right. I remember some of those challenges, including people occupying place or occupation at some of your properties, not even paying rent, in fact, doing so illegally at Floorhof, I remember in particular. What's the situation looking like now?
Yeah, so I think to overcome those challenges, the hard lessons learned is that you have to work more in these communities, with the community. And through a recent unrest South Africa saw, I think it's safe to say we the biggest housing developer in and around Chevalon in Soweto, where that mall had all those challenges, we had none. Where the community really stand together and protect our property. And I think it's creating that value system, building legacies, change lives. It's about the enterprise development, the skills development, the training you do, the alternative training we do for not only construction, but other activities for the community to be able to generate their own income, and then the quality homes we provide them through these developments. So standing together and see the value Calgary brings to these communities.
Talking about homes, I remember the construction of RDP homes, or the pipeline thereof, being one of the areas in which Calgary M3 was eyeing for growth. What's the situation looking like now?
Yeah, at this stage, we've got 5,000 units under construction, and of that, only 12% is for City of Johannesburg or Gauteng provincial government, in the form of RDPs or rental units for them. So actually we're more private sector driven today, not walking away from public sector. Public sector has been good over the years for this business, and we'll capitalize from public sector as and when budgets is available. I think the main thing is we just don't want to be reliant on public sector. And the business has grown. Open market sales are up more than 100% in the current 6 months. And the significance of the number is that this revenue growth now is not from that number, because we first sell a house and then construct it. So this 100% growth you're still going to see in the next periods. So, yeah, we're really focusing more towards the private sector and almost this core gap market, selling property from 400 to 500,000 rand, which is a two-bedroom, one-bathroom unit, a family home, which if you look at interest rates now plus less subsidy, people earning between and 12,000-13,000 rand a month, families combined household income can afford. So catering for where the core need in South Africa is.
Is this affordability still the case, even with the impact of COVID-19 essentially taking away income from some households?
Yes, I think it's what I always say to people is Let's just go and stand on the corner of Dietfleet, Honeydew, Kayalicha and Cape Town and see how many people at 5 a.m. in the morning leave for formal job opportunities. It's inhumane that they have to live in those living conditions in those areas. If someone has a formal job opportunity, you don't leave at 5 a.m. to go and look for a job. You have a job, which you have to arrive at 7 a.m. Why must you live in those living conditions? And as I say, if you look from combined family income, remember that husband and wife, anywhere between 10 and 13,000 rand a month, that's not a lot. And that's where we believe the core gap in African housing is.
All right. You also have business in the memorial parks sector. Just talk to us about what has happened across your memorial parks with the pandemic and the unfortunate increase in fatalities that we did witness over the previous year.
Yeah, so I think it's important if you look at these numbers. So from a revenue perspective, memorial parks currently still only contribute 7% of the group's revenue, while it contributes 14% of the group's profits. Of course, the margins in that business, because the long-term business is higher. If you look at the unfortunate fatalities, we're actually comparing COVID to COVID, because in last year's first six months numbers, there was also COVID numbers. So at this stage, Calgary is consistently growing market share. We now have just over 1% of the Gauteng market share. In Cape Town, we're not even at 1% yet. And I think a lot of non-COVID-specific growth opportunities in that market. In that light, you would have seen that we're now busy launching, or we have launched, products from 13,000 Rand, where traditionally in Maastricht it started at roughly 20,000, which includes a grave, the opening, closing, the beautification afterwards, putting back the grass, your fees for your tombstones. It's an all-inclusive fee. And with that, you get the top security for the family that visits the graves of the loved ones afterwards. You get the future perpetuity maintenance forever. We maintain it from a maintenance fund. So it's really a dignified, different value offering we offer in that business. Mm.
And I see that you have partnered with Nedbank to enable some people who couldn't afford the hard cash to access a dignified burial with a loan from Nedbank. I mean, is that a function of affordability there in offering credit to people?
Yeah, so for the last, I think, 2 years, we started offering interest-free loans, which you have to repay between a debit order between 3 and 12 months from Calgary's perspective. Of course, we're not a credit provider, so if you stop paying, we pay your money back. So it was interest-free, no cost charge, no fees charge. But we started seeing from an affordability perspective that there's more people that want to afford the product. And interestingly, the people that buy on credit, not the 13,000 Rand crash, more the 25,000, 30,000 Rand pre-reservations, but they need a bit of longer credit, and hence we partnered with Nedbank, which are now providing that credit to those individuals to afford, make it more affordable over a period of time.
Vikas, what's the increased vaccination drive mean for your memorials business? Does it present a risk to some of the margins you are currently experiencing?
Yeah, I don't believe so. So I think two sides to it. Firstly, we're increasing our market share. As I say, we still don't have 1% of the Gauteng market share. So we would like to grow that to 5 to 10% of the Gauteng market share, the same in the Western Cape. And that's got nothing to do with COVID. Then through these COVID periods, because of our humanity and always trying to assist people, we gave big discounts to families. We do buried loved ones that passed away from COVID, which we don't do on normal sales. So if anything, I don't believe it's going to have any impact, or it might even increase our margin because we won't be offering that discounts to non-COVID-related deaths or burials.
All right. You're still not paying a dividend. What needs to change for you to relook at that decision?
Yeah. So capital allocation. So I think firstly we need to focus at the risk hedge our memorial park business is currently providing us. I said earlier it's 14% of our profits. But memorial parks are very positive from cash generated perspective, where we invest upfront money and then it actually generates good cash. To a point now where it's generating sufficient cash to pay all our overheads. The target for that is to first pay, to generate sufficient cash to pay overheads and interest. So that's from a risk perspective. Then we get into the capital allocation question from there onwards. So firstly, we're still driving our net debt to equity down. We set ourselves target for 0.9 February 2022, the year thereafter 0.8, and the year thereafter 0.75:1 net debt to equity. So currently we're ahead of target, but we're not at our 3-year target yet. Then we also, you'll see that we're currently driving a bit of a lazy balance sheet. Just from a risk perspective, you need to prepare for the unexpected. And then if you look at where the share price currently is versus where the asset value is and where management, remember all our assets are sitting at cost. All these memorial parks, no revaluation on an annual basis. Neither, even if you look at our developments, Fleurhof is still at the price we paid 12 years ago for the property. So there's quite a bit of value locked up in that balance sheet on top of our balance sheet NAV. And therefore, we believe share buybacks will be a larger drive than necessarily paying dividends as yet if we remain at these low levels.
All right. Vikas, all noted. Thanks so much for joining the show. So that's Vikas Latakhan, the CEO of Calgro M3.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.